Monsieur Beaucaire. Chapter 1. The young Frenchman did very well what he had planned to do. His guess that the Duke would cheat proved good. As the unshod half-dozen figures that had been standing noiselessly in the entryway stole softly into the shadows of the chamber, he leaned across the table and smilingly plucked a card out of the big Englishman's sleeve. Merci, M. Le Duc. He laughed, rising and stepping back from the table. The Englishman cried out, "It means the dirty work of silencing you with my bare hands," and came at him. "Do not move," said M. Beaucaire, so sharply that the other paused. "Observe behind you." The Englishman turned, and saw what trap he had blundered into, then stood transfixed, impotent, alternately scarlet with rage and white with the vital shame of discovery. M. Beaucaire remarked, indicating the silent figures by a polite wave of the hand, "Is it not a compliment to Monsieur that I procure 6 large men to subdue him? They are quite devoted to me, and Monsieur is alone. Could it be that he did not wish even his lackeys to know he play with the young Frenchman whom Mr. Nash does not like in the pomp room? Monsieur is unfortunate to have come on foot and alone to my apartment." The Duke's mouth foamed over with chaotic revilement. His captor smiled brightly, and made a slight gesture, as one who brushes aside a boisterous insect. With the same motion he quelled to stony quiet a resentful impetus of his servants toward the Englishman. "It's murder, is it, you carrion? Finish the Duke." M. Beaucaire lifted his shoulders in a mock shiver. "What words? No, no, no. No killing. A such word to a such host. No, no, not murder, only disgrace." He laughed a clear, light laugh with a rising inflection, seeming to launch himself upon an adventurous quest for sympathy. "You little devilish scullion," spat out the Duke. "Tut, tut. But I forget. Monsieur has pursued his studies of deportment amongst his fellow countrymen. Do you dream a soul in Bath will take your word that I, that am. Le Duc de Winterset had a card up his sleeve? "You pitiful stroller, you stable boy, born in a stable. Is it not an honor to be born where Monsieur must have been bred? You scurvy footboy, you greasy barber, you cutthroat groom." Overwhelm. The young man bowed with imperturbable elation. "M. Le Duc appoint me to all the office of his household. You mustachioed fool, there are not 5 people of quality in Bath will speak to you." "No, Monsieur, not on the parade, but how many come to play with me here? Because I will play always, night or day, for what one will, for any long, and always fair, Monsieur." "You outrageous varlet. Everyone knows you came to England as the French ambassador's barber. What man of fashion will listen to you? Who will believe you?" "All people, Monsieur. Do you think I have not calculated that I shall make a failure of my little enterprise? Bah! Will Monsieur not reseat himself?" M. Beaucaire made a low bow. "So. We must not be too tired for Lady Malbourne's rout. Ha, ha. And you, Jean, Victor, and you others, retire, go in the hallway. Attend at the entrance, Francois. So, now we shall talk. Monsieur, I wish you to think very cool. Then listen, I will be briefly. It is that I am well known to be all, entire hones. Gamblist? Ah, yes, true and most profitable, but fair, always fair, everyone say that. Is it not so? Think of it. And, is there never a whisper come to M. Le Duc that not all people believe him to play always hones? Ha, ha. Did it almost be said to him last year, after when he play with me Lord Tappenford at the Chocolate House? You dirty scandalmonger. The Duke burst out. I'll. Monsieur, monsieur, said the Frenchman. It is a poor valor to insult a helpless captor. Can he retort upon his own victim? But it is for you to think of what I say. True, I am not recognized on the parade, that my friends who come here do not present me to their ladies, that Mr. Nash has rebuffed me in the pomp room, still, am I not known for being hones and fair in my play, and will I not be believed, even I, when I lift my voice and charge you aloud with what is already whisper? Think of it. You are a noble, and there will be some hangdogs who might not fall away from you. Only such would be left to you. Do you want it toll? And you can keep out of France, Monsieur. I have left his service, but I have still the air of M. de Mirepoix, and he know I never lie. Not a gentleman will play you when you come to Paris. The Englishman's white lip showed a row of scarlet dots upon it. How much do you want? He said. The room rang with the gay laughter of Beaucaire. I hold your note for £700. You can have them, Monsieur. Why does a such great man come to play M. Beaucaire? Because no one else willing to play M. Le Duc, he cannot pay. Ha, ha. So he come to good Monsieur Beaucaire. Money, ha, ha. What I want with money. His Grace of Winterset's features were set awry to a sinister pattern. He sat glaring at his companion in a snarling silence. Money? Poof! Snapped the little gambler. No, no, no. It is that M. Leduc, impoverished, somewhat in a bad odor as he is, yet command the entree anywhere, unless I, ha, ha. Eh, monsieur? Ha! You dare think to force me? M. Beaucaire twirled the tip of his slender mustache around the end of his white forefinger. Then he said, Monsieur and me going to Lady Malbourne's ball tonight, M. Leduc and me. The Englishman roared, curse your impudence. Sit quiet. Oh, yes, that's all, we going together. No. Certain. I make all my little plan. Tis all arrange. He paused, and then said gravely, you go and present me to Lady Mary Carlyle. The other laughed in utter scorn. Lady Mary Carlyle, of all women alive, would be the first to prefer the devil to a man of no birth, barber. Tis all arrange, have no fear, nobody question messieurs you go and take me tonight. No. Yes. And after, then I have the entree. Is it much I ask? This one little favor, and I never whisper, never breathe that, it is to say, I am always forever silent of messieurs' misfortune. You have the entree. Sneered the other. Go to a lackey's rout and dance with the kitchen maids. If I would, I could not present you to Bath society. I should have cartels from the fathers, brothers, and lovers of every wench and madam in the place, even I. You would be thrust from Lady Malbourne's door 5 minutes after you entered it. No, no, no. Half the gentlemen in Bath have been here to play. They would know you, wouldn't they, fool? You've had thousands out of Bandison, Rakel, Guildford, and Townbreak. They would have you lashed by the grooms as your ugly deserts are. You to speak to Lady Mary Carlyle. Odd's blood. You. Also, told, she would know you if you escaped the others. She stood within a yard of you when Nash expelled you the pump room. M. Beaucaire flushed slightly. You think I did not see? He asked. Do you dream that because Winterset introduces a low fellow he will be tolerated, that Bath will receive a barber? I have the distinction to call Monsieur's attention, replied the young man gaily. I have renounced that profession. Fool. I am now a man of honor. Faugh. A man of the parts, continued the young Frenchman, and of deportment, is it not so? Have you seen me of a fluster, or gross ever, or, what shall I say, bourgeois? Shall you be shamed for your guest manner? No, no. And my appearance, is it of the people? Clearly, no. Do I not compare in taste of apparel with your young Englishman? Ha, ha. To be hope. Ha, ha. So I am going to talk with Lady Mary Carlyle. Bah. The Duke made a savage burlesque. Lady Mary Carlyle, may I assume the honor of presenting the barber of the Marquis de Mirepoix? So, is it? No, monsieur, smiled the young man. Quite not so. You shall have nothing to worry you, nothing in the world. I am going to assassinate my poor mustachio, also remove this horrible black peruke, and emerge in my own hair. Behold! He swept the heavy curled mass from his head as he spoke, and his hair, coiled under the great wig, fell to his shoulders, and sparkled yellow in the candlelight. He tossed his head to shake the hair back from his cheeks. When it is dressed, I am transformed, nobody can know me, you shall observe. See how little I ask of you, how very little bit. No one shall recognize M. Beaucaire or Victor. Ha, ha. Tis all arrange, you have nothing to fear. Curse you, said the Duke, do you think I'm going to be saddled with you wherever I go as long as you choose? A mistake. No. All I requie, all I beg, is this one evening. Tis all shall be necessary. After, I shall not need monsieur. Take heed to yourself, after. Vouchsafed the Englishman between his teeth. Conquered. Cried M. Beaucaire, and clapped his hands gleefully. Conquered for the night. Aha, it is reasonable. I shall meet what you send, after. One cannot hope too much of your patience. It is but natural you should attempt a little avengement for the rascal trap I was such a wicked fellow as to set for you. I shall meet some strange friends of yours after tonight, not so? I must try to be not too much frightened. He looked at the Duke curiously. You want to know why I create this tragedy, why I am so unkind as to entrap monsieur? His Grace of Winterset replied with a chill glance, a pulse in the nobleman's cheek beat less relentlessly, his eye raged not so bitterly, The steady purple of his own color was returning, his voice was less hoarse, he was regaining his habit. "'Tis ever the manner of the vulgar," he observed, "to wish to be seen with people of fashion." "Oh, no, no, no," the Frenchman laughed. "'Tis not that. Am I not already one of these men of fashion? I lack only the reputation of birth. Monsieur is going to supply that. Ha, ha. I shall be noble from tonight. Victor, the artist, is condemned to death, his throat shall be cut with his own razor. M. Beaucaire," here the young man sprang to his feet, caught up the black wig, clapped into it a dice box from the table, and hurled it violently through the open